Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Bonjour, 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 bonjour. There goes the beggar with the tray like always. You know, it's funny. That made me think of something. What's good?
What's good? Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah, no, that was genius. I love his stuff.
Why doesn't he do more of those?
I think he's done a couple.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. They look like they're really, they cost a lot of money to make.
Oh, I'll give him money. I have $10 and a coupon.
Goodness. Oh, and look at you.
To the IHOP.
Aww.
I can feed some people.
I love an IHOP.
I love it. What do you get? Rudy Tootie Fresh.
If I'm going out, moon over my hammy. That's Denny's.
Denny's.
I know. You probably will get a scramble of some kind.
Mm.
You know, get some of those potatoes and bacon and, you know, all that stuff.
Are you a big breakfast eater?
No, actually, I'm not a big breakfast eater.
Same here.
Yeah, I tend to skip that meal of the day.
Me too.
I tend to drink coffee instead of eating breakfast.
You're so good.
But today I had, Sutton always makes breakfast tacos with, you know, eggs with I love a good tortilla shell.
The problem with breakfast is it goes too fast.
True.
The trouble with the world today is plain to see. It's coffee in a cardboard cup. That was just my cue into my material.
That's
I hope
good,
you
though.
Thank you.
Oh, I love when you sing.
Thank you. Somebody has to.
I do.
I do that, and then I go into It's an Art from Working.
Everyone sang that song when I was in college.
Oh, same here.
No one does it anymore. Everyone did. Everybody.
You know what
did
my
song.
College used to do, which was horrible?
What?
Any person that was, I'm trying to think of a way of articulating this where it's not offensive. If you were not Caucasian, you were given that song at least
really?
Once to sing. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I'm trying to think of
that
a nice.
That feels wrong.
I know. I'm trying to think of a nice
like
way of
like the waitress song, really? Like, why, it was, at least give ooh my feet.
If you were non-Caucasian, everyone had got, it was always, you know what would be really good for you? And people would be like, it's an art. It's an art. I'm not joking, Kevin.
Weird.
But you know what's so funny? Hmm. Can we have a serious discussion for a second?
Let's
I know that we're usually very light and frothy.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be light and frothy. I find it so interesting now that so many students get offended. I'm going to say the word offended when a voice teacher or an acting teacher says, like, for example, there's a school that I know where there's a lot of African American students, mm-hmm. and they're told, "Oh, you have to sing 'I Hate the Bus.'"
Huh.
And it's like,
no.
But what if she's not really a Caroline?
What if she doesn't want to sing that song?
You know, it's, or one, I heard this from one school that a student who was a soprano was told, oh, you should learn all of Cinderella's stuff now that Nini Leaks? Yeah.
Oh, well, when they had the take, yeah, when she did
when they put her into Cinderella.
I forget the girl's name. Who
please
did
forgive
it.
Me. When they put her into Cinderella. Then it was like, okay, well, now you can sing it because an African American has now played it on Broadway.
Bullshit.
Now you can do it.
Yeah.
I'm just so interested by that. Is that something teachers should do or
no,
something teachers shouldn't
like
do?
No, that sounds like academia, and that sounds like BS to me. I think students should, especially in educational institutions, should be singing anything they want to sing.
Yeah.
Sure, you can sing the Make Them Hear You if you want to, sir, but you also can sing Her Face from Carnival. Like, please do that as well.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
you can sing from Carousel, not just because Josh Henry got cast, you know, this
but
year.
But even before Josh Henry before got that, cast, yeah, if you no, wanted to sing like, from Carousel.
It's funny, we were talking with, just today, I was in a little rehearsal with Ali Stoker, the girl from that was in Springle. And she was talking, we were talking exactly about this, about casting people, you know, she wanted to do, I hope she doesn't mind me saying, but she wanted to do a certain musical and they went to the estate and the estate people were like, no, because we don't see it. You know, the widow was like, no, we don't see a person in a wheelchair playing that part.
What?
Yeah, right. And like, what, like, if it's not, it only will help a show. We saw that with Spring Awakening, you know, like it only will lift up a piece and put the emphasis back on the story.
Are you
and
serious?
That, yeah, you know, and I hope that I'm not out of turn saying that because I'm not telling you any more than that. But I remember thinking that's crazy that we still live in a day and age where someone will say, oh, well, that's not the, you know, it's like the who's your favorite Virginia Woolf, you know,
and that we had talked about.
The All Beast yeah. was like, oh, people have, you know, non-Caucasians. This is crazy. You know, it's like, well, the play is still good. So I think we're going to be okay.
Oh, I think you're fine.
And so, yeah, it was just interesting. The idea of casting with, you know, race, color, and special needs or whatever, you know, like, the, you know, whatever you're, you know.
How about the best person? First of all, somebody interviewed me about this a couple of days ago. And I was like, as soon as you enter that theater, you're playing pretend.
Right. It's built in.
It's pretend.
Right.
It's pretend. We are pretending. Mm-hmm. So why, what is this thing? That wouldn't have happened in real life. It's not real life.
Yeah,
it's not realistic. A friend of mine once said, not an old friend, a former friend, I should say, they saw Anything Goes with me. And they were just rolling their eyes a little bit. Oh, so what's the issue? The issue was that there were African-American members in the ensemble who were part of the guests on the boat. And he goes, well, if this was, you know, historically accurate, you know, they would not have been guests on the boat. They would have been servants, or they would have done this, or they'd done that.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, they also wouldn't have broken out into a synchronized time step.
Right, and you're
and
the top is a
harmony.
Right, and you're the top is a list song that doesn't go anywhere, so.
So, like, what do you want from us? But that drives me crazy, which is we are saying it is imaginary. It is let's play pretend. We are pretending.
That's why we love it.
So why is this a fucking issue? Excuse my language, but why is this a fucking issue? But I was so interested because this young lady I was talking to was like, yeah, she goes, the only thing I seem to get from my voice teachers are songs that other African Americans have sang, and I never get, like, She Used to Be Mine. And I never get Glitter and Be Gay. And I never get this and I never get that. It's literally like, you will sing, Mama will provide. You right. will sing. And it has to be sanctioned on Broadway by an African-American appearing in the role right. before my voice teacher will even tell me I can sing something along these lines.
That's so strange to me. It must be very frustrating.
So I asked one of the teachers, though.
Yeah.
I said, so why do you do this? The teacher's response was, well, they're going to be auditioning for these things when they leave here. So is it any different than preparing a soprano to be learning My Fair Lady music? Mm. And I'm like, I think I get your point, but that's not all you give the person. You don't just give the soprano Eliza Doolittle stuff to learn. You give them a whole wide range of things. And I think that's a little different. I know a lot of Latina actresses who would never appear in the Heights because their type doesn't fit any of those characters.
Right.
And all they get is
breathe.
You know, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I was just curious. Sorry. There was a very long tangent.
No. I feel you. Definitely.
Thank you. I'm done now. I need to smoke and lay down. Hey, a positive note.
Hey.
May I give you a positive note?
Yes, please.
We need to do this more often. Every time we tell our listeners that we like something or we are looking for something, they respond and go out of their way to send it to us. A couple of episodes ago, Kevin David Thomas.
That's my name.
That's his full name.
Thank you, everybody.
Said that he really loved Show Music magazine.
It was my favorite thing.
It was a favorite thing. And
it was.
And refresh us on what Show Music magazine was.
Oh, you guys, from the early 80s, it started out as like basically a newsletter, and it ended in 2002, 2003. And it was exactly what it sounds like. It was a quarterly magazine that was all about show music. And it is a magical, Goodspeed helped produce it for a while. Max Prio put it out. And it was like the nerdiest thing. I mean, now that we have copies of all of them, it was just like reading just tons and tons of articles about what theater music was coming out. Full page ads for the Me Nobody Knows, finally on CD, because everyone's racing to get that. But you know, it was a great way, a resource for getting information about what cast albums were coming out, what books, what theater, all of that.
And not only in America.
Oh, no, all over the world.
All over the world. Yeah, Europe
and
Australia.
You'd have the Rialto. You'd have, like, the Australia, down under, you know.
So Kevin mentioned this, and I said to him, oh, yeah, I used to read it, too, blah, blah, blah.
And I had, like, five copies.
Me, too. I got, like four, yeah, right, yeah, back in California. Anyway, I'll start with mine, and then you can tell me yours. Yeah. We had a listener named Lisa Vile Mento. Once again, Lisa Vile Mento, who was so kind, she emailed us and said, what's your address? She goes, I used to work for Goodspeed. I've got a whole bunch of them.
Crazy.
And out of the goodness of her heart, not only did she mail us a bunch, she sent us duplicates so we didn't have to fight over them. So Lisa, I mean, the kindness,
yeah,
of Lisa is incredible. Now, oh, yeah, and then, but tell us about your thing.
Completely separate from that, I have a friend of a friend who's now become a friend named Michael Adams, and I met him at, it doesn't matter, Annalie Ashford's husband, Joey, was our Mercutio. When I met my wife,
yes,
and Romeo and Juliet, yes, he was Mercutio, so we're friends with them. And we were at her baby shower, and I met this fellow there, his older businessman now. We hit it off because he loved musical theater. But that was it. It was just a conversation 2 years ago. Well, he reached out of the blue, reached out to me, and he was like, hey, remember we talked to Annalise and Joey's, you know, bridal thing? And he's like, I love your podcast. Didn't know he was listening to us. Didn't know any of that. And he was like, I've got a whole collection in my closet. I'll mail you the whole thing. All of them. So we're talking from the early copies, the pre-Goodspeed years, which are these little tiny ones. I think I sent you, yes, gave you some. And they're like, it's very raw. It's just all Max doing his, you know, collaborating with other people, but this was definitely a labor of love. And he mailed me three installments, like huge boxful. So yeah, we're, between the two of us, we're set.
We are, but the kindness.
It's so generous.
Of our listeners.
So generous.
And then I have to add another thing on top of that, if I may, because you're going to get one. I know you're getting one.
Nevertheless, yes.
Nevertheless. Don't start with me. Nevertheless, Robbie Rizzell. I got an email from Michael Levine, who was one of our guests, the
best,
sheet music connoisseur.
Best pen I've ever had. I love my pen from Michael Levine.
Michael Levine gave us swag.
Michael, you're a great coach, and you've got lots of sheet music, but the swag you gave us is everything.
We're supposed to give guests swag. He was giving us swag. So anyway, Michael emailed me, and Jen Tepper, who you know runs 54 Below and does the great Untold Stories of Broadway series,
which
I'm pointing to on my bookshelf as we speak. Yeah. And he said, I have a gift for you and Jen. Can I meet you guys? He shows up and gave us these two posters that are called the Broadway Turkey. And it is a turkey,
a huge
turkey drawing. But the turkey is made up of titles of, I'm going to say, underappreciated shows. Because
yeah.
Jen doesn't like the word flop, so I can't say flop. Underappreciated plays and musicals.
Right.
So the turkey is made up of like the title Bring Back Birdie or Merrily We Roll Along.
Angel.
Or Angel, which you said was on the nose, which
yes,
we kind of liked.
In a different color, which
in
I thought
a
was
different
really cool.
color, which is pretty awesome. So the generosity of our listeners is so astounding, and we are very thankful. I don't know if this episode's going to be airing during Thanksgiving, but if it is, we are very thankful
yeah.
for you. So I'd like to put out in the world, I would like $1 million. So whichever listener is going to respond to us
nice.
And give us $1 million, that would be great.
Go for it.
Awesome. But no, seriously, thank you so much. And we love getting this stuff. And also, people are sending us book recommendations and clips to be looking at. It's really amazing. So thank you all so much. We just wanted to say thank you yeah. for that. Now, Kevin, what is your favorite?
Well, this is a follow-up from last week or whenever we... For the first time ever, Rob and I actually...
First time ever.
Ever. We had the same favorite thing. Now, we record a bunch of these at one time. And so he was bringing up this woman, Alice Platon. And I could not believe you said that because that was one of my... She literally was my favorite thing that I wished to talk about. And we thought, well, let's just wait and talk about her on the same day.
May I remind our listeners of why I brought her up last
yes,
time?
Yes, please do.
That's okay.
Yes.
So we had Neva Small on as a guest a couple of weeks ago, the great Neva Small from Fiddler on the Roof. And we talked about her co-star, Alice Platon, who was in Henry Sweet Henry with her. But we got an email from a guy named Joshua White. And the email said, thank you both and Neva Small for remembering my wife, Alice Platon. We were married for 35 years. I miss her every day.
Breaks my heart.
I was so touched And Kevin, I know telling you, you were touched as well, that we wanted to make sure that we acknowledged her because she's always been on our favorite things list. But it's something about the stars aligning at the right time.
I just couldn't believe that we, yeah.
So I postponed on talking about her. So I want Kevin to take this. But this is for Joshua and for everybody else who loved her.
What a fascinating career. What a, I know her because one of my favorite shows is Caroline or Change, which she was in. And
Grandma.
What was that, 2005?
Yeah.
2004, 2005. And I always knew her from other stuff. But then I was like, oh, wait, I forgot she was the original baby Louise in Gypsy. You know, she was the original Ermengarde in Hello, Dolly. Obviously, we've talked about Sweet Henry. First Lady Sweet. She did Michael John LaCusa? Like, that
Mamie Eisenhower.
Nuts. I mean, that's, like, so crazy to me. But then she also did lots of voiceover work. You know, she was Felix the Cat. She was in My Little Pony, the movie. You know, that character voice that she has is very special. What fascinates me is that for the last 50 years or so, until she died in 2011, her career was across the board. She did everything.
And we said this last year, left us way too soon.
Way too soon. She's only 63.
My God.
It's way too young. And so I was going to offer up, I'm sure this is on your list, but there's a great clip on YouTube of her singing on the Ed Sullivan Show, Poor Little Person. Is so good. And you get to see Michael Bennett. This is his first Broadway show. You see his choreography. That moment, the audience starts clapping when they start marching across the
and
stage.
And what musical is this from?
This is from Henry, Sweet Henry. So the flop musical, but like she was a standout. People would compare her to Ethel Merman and, you know, that she... Because she... When you watch this video, you know... She's communicating to the last row, and yet everything she's doing is believable and real. And yet it is a musical comedy, and it is... big, but yet it's believable, you know.
They said
she's funny. Oh my gosh, is she funny?
Oh, and I never got to see it, but they said that her Nobody Steps on Kafritz was like one of the best shining musical moments of the 1960s.
That was her big number, and then Bob Merrill wrote Poor Little Person because he loved her so much. He was like, I gotta write this person another show-stopping number.
Wow.
So that's why he wrote Poor Little Person. I wish that was captured. I wish we could see that captured.
Yeah. I wonder if it is somewhere. I wonder.
I'm sure someone like Stephen Cole has it somewhere.
Yeah, just something. Under his Flahuli doll.
Exactly.
It's there. But she was absolutely, and for our older listeners, her big thing was that Alka-Seltzer commercial.
That's what I was going to mention.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes,
no,
go ahead.
I forgot. The Alka-Seltzer commercial from like 1970 or something like that, where it's, I'm not familiar with it, so I don't know.
Oh, have you never seen it? No. It's a newlywed couple. It's her as the newlywed bride and the husband. Okay, kind of obscure. Do you remember the movie Weekend at Bernie's?
Of course, I know Weekend at Bernie's.
Bernie.
Oh my gosh.
And I have a story about him later on.
Obscure.
I have a story about him later on, which I think I can tell on air. I think.
I hope so.
Allegedly, I'll tell it allegedly a little bit later on. they're a newlywed couple, and she comes home and she's like, "Honey, I'm going to make." Food for you. And the first thing she makes are like these huge dumplings. And she's reading a cookbook of like other things she can make for him, like marshmallow meatballs and sweet and sour oysters. Ugh. And you just see him like reaching for the Alka-Seltzer, knowing that the whole rest of the marriage is going to be indigestion.
Right.
It is so funny and it's so cute. But that was her big thing. That was her big thing when she was the newlywed in the Alka-Seltzer commercial.
That's great.
So we'll post that.
Okay.
We'll post that for everybody. But Bernie is on there. So here's the story about Weekend at Bernie's.
Okay.
This is allegedly. Bernie signed up to do Weekend at Bernie's, and in his contract, he signed up to do anything else that was part of Weekend at Bernie's. And apparently, they didn't realize the movie was going to be so successful that they were going to make a sequel. Now, he was dead in the first one, so why does he have to appear in the second one?
Yeah.
Because in the second movie, have you ever seen Weekend at Bernie's Part 2?
Oh, God, no.
He's possessed by a voodoo curse.
No.
And anytime he hears reggae music, his body gets up and dances. So the actor was like, fuck this. I'm not doing it. And refused to come to work. And he actually had to be forced back onto the set to play a dead body.
How do you know this?
I'll tell you off air, but I know these things.
Gosh.
But anyway, so that's who co-starred in the Alice Plaiden commercial.
Excellent. We'll post some clips of her.
Stay on track, Rob.
She really, boy, talk about staying, you know, current too. And she took new projects. She was, you know, working to the last.
Bob Merrill.
Yes.
To Michael John LaCusa. That,
oh yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Like, was this a test? Yeah, no. Yeah. I thought it was like SAT.
True You're or like, false?
Bob is to Michael John as Alice is to I don't know. So yeah, you're right. She went all over the place.
Yeah,
it's Ginny Tesori. You know, I mean, like it's yeah.
So I mean, but the versatility of the voice, the power. I didn't see her in First Lady Suite, but I heard she was heartbreaking. Mm. So we really just wanted to take a chance to acknowledge her, but there must be something in the world that makes me want to acknowledge her when you want to acknowledge yeah. her and her husband reaching out to us. And to her husband, Joshua, I'm sure you knew this, but she is so beloved and so missed by so many that, but her spirit and her memory always lives on in our hearts and minds. So yeah. Thank you for reaching out because we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. Is it my turn now?
Yeah.
For favorite thing?
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay.
What is it?
Mine is a movie.
Ooh.
That really pulled at my heartstrings.
Oh.
And I think it's so good. And it came out last year. And it's on iTunes, so you can rent it.
It's a musical? No.
It didn't make that much of a splash in movie theaters, but I think it's really, really lovely and a perfect representation of the actor's or the artist's life. What is this movie?
Yeah.
Tick Tock, Kevin David Thomas. What is this movie? Maybe you saw it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Is that what it's called, Tick Tock?
No. I was giving you a little Jeopardy thing.
That was good.
Stars Gabriel Byrne, Nathan Lane, Patricia Clarkson, Francis Conroy.
Great. These are all actors, actors.
Boyd Gaines.
Great actors.
And the movie is called No Pay, Nudity.
Never heard of it ever in my life.
Okay. It's called No Pay Nudity.
Is this Woody Allen?
Nope. Okay. It's written by a guy named Ethan Sandler, directed by Lee Wilcoff.
Broadway's with Lee Wilcoff.
Yes, who created the role of?
Wasn't he in the Kiss Me Kate?
He was the gangster in Kiss Me Kate.
Bro, shop your Shakespeare.
In the 80s, what role did he create? You know, you're gonna kick yourself when you remember. Lift up your head. Wash off your mascara.
Really?
Here, take my Kleenex. Wipe that lipstick away.
Of course, yes, of course.
He's Seymour.
Yeah, that's right.
In Little Shop of Horrors. Right. But Lee Wilcoff is a wonderful actor, a character actor. If you saw him, everyone go like, oh yeah, I totally know him. He directed this film. And Kevin, this movie is so touching. It's the story of an aging actor named Lester Rosenthal.
What a name.
Played by the great Gabriel Byrne, who... The movie starts, it's so sad. The movie starts with him taking his dog to the vet to be put to sleep.
Oh, geez.
Then he goes on an audition for King Lear at a regional theater in Ohio. And he's like, I'm really excited to play Lear because a few years ago I played the fool. And I know, but now it's my turn to play Lear. And the whole ride over to the audition, he's doing the lines, he knows. And then he gets in front of the audition room and he can't remember.
Oh, no.
Anything. But what he does during his day to kill time is he goes and he sits in the Actors' Equity Lounge.
Shut up.
And so the movie is about a group of friends who are out-of-work actors who just sit in the Actors' Equity Lounge all day and commiserate about their careers. The actors include, this is who he meets there, and they all obviously, they don't play themselves. Right. Nathan Lane plays Herschel, mm-hmm. who is like the sage of the group, mm-hmm. who hasn't worked in 30 years, and then you find out at the end why.
Oh my gosh.
Patricia Clarkson, oh my God. Oh, not Patricia Clarkson, I'm so sorry, forgive me. Oh my God, forgive me. Frances Conroy, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Frances Conroy plays this, it's so sad, this middle-aged actress who doesn't work and is so desperate to be in the business, even though she's in her late 50s, interns at a casting office to file people's headshots and resumes. The best, though, is Boyd Gaines plays this classical actor who is starting to get success that Gabriel Byrne feels that he should be getting.
Oh, jeez.
And it's very funny because Boyd Gaines is talking about something and he's like, ugh, it was horrible. And they're like, oh, who did it? And he goes, ugh, Roundabout, and rolls his eyes. And you're like, Boyd Gaines, your whole career was Roundabout.
So basically they just went to the Equity Lounge and they set up monitors and just listened to what
yes.
was on there.
And yeah. yes, exactly right.
It sounds what it...
And you mentioned her before, and I want to mention her again. The wonderful Donna Murphy shows
Murphy.
Up in the movie as Lester's new girlfriend, an acting student. But it's I think it's a perfect look into our business, a perfect look into our industry. So once again,
and aging too, you know, like an aging in this business, because it's not, as we know from our interviews, it's a tough.
And
it's
how
tough.
Do you make it work? And the main thrust of the movie, and I'm not giving anything away because it happens pretty soon, is the fact that Gabriel Byrne's character is turned down to play King Lear, but he's offered The Fool, and it's like in 30 poetic. Years, where have I really gone? And the theater that's producing it is his hometown. Yeah. So he has to go back to his hometown playing a role he played 30 years ago. Why isn't he moved on when everyone else is advancing far ahead of him? But I think that Lee Wilcoff does a brilliant job directing it. I think the screenplay is really magnificent. But if you are in this business, if you are in this industry, one, I think it's going to resonate. But two, it's so great to see so many great stage actors get substantial film time. Because I don't. Where else do we really see Boyd Gaines now?
Oh, and I love him. He's one of my favorite actors.
Or Donna Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we've also got other, like Ellen Foley's in it, and J. Smith Cameron's in it, and Mark Bloom's in it. So you see Zoe Perry's in it. So all these people pop up that we see on stage all the time. Right. Anyway, it's called No Pay Nudity. It's available on iTunes. I think it's a wonderful movie, especially if you're an artist.
Excellent. So glad.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
Wow.
But something very uplifting about the fact that this is what we've dedicated our lives to.
Yeah.
That we are not alone.
Right.
Have you ever been to the Actors Equity Lounge?
Oh, of course.
So, really stupid question. Why hang out there? Like, what's there?
Well, I think for a certain type, it's because it makes you feel like you're a part of what's going on in the world. It makes you feel like you're... No, you know, this is... you know, before there were, like, you know, Talkin' Broadway websites, you went to the Equity Lounge to, like, socialize, to see people of your kind, your ilk.
Interesting.
You know, and that's where you usually go to audition to get the next job, so it's kind of like the clubhouse. And it's a private place. You have to have your Equity card in order to get in. And I picture the Equity Lounge back where it used to be when it was on 46th Street on the second floor. Now it's much fancier. There's an upper level. You have to go take one elevator, take another elevator. And
this one takes place, I think, in your old building.
Yes, I believe so.
That yeah, because I'm not Equity, so I've never... Yeah.
And it's the same building, just different floor. But it was a very, like, it was sometimes a sad place, but always interesting, because there were definitely certain types that are always there, always hanging out, kind of like watching what's going on. And, you know, it's like your thing to do. It's like with the ladies in my neighborhood who sit on their chair watching, you know, the cars go by.
That's so interesting. Well, take a look at it and tell me from an actor's perspective how accurate you think it is. Yeah. I found it deeply moving.
Right.
And I was a little surprised that I didn't get more traction when
I'm surprised I've never even heard of it, yeah.
Debuted. I mean, the tagline is great. It's about hanging out, hanging in, hanging on. So if it came with that tagline,
someone
great.
Was really proud of themselves for that one.
Whoever did that, I want to give you a big old kiss. So for me, No Pay Nudity, and for you?
It was the wonderful Alice Platen.
Go watch some of her clips, and we'll post some as well. All right, till next time.
Bye.
There. I did it. But I endeavor to resist them by clenching my fist and by kicking my shoe hard. I try, but not too hard. She was out to get me, but I got her first. When she got malicious. She happened to pick a kid, could be just as vicious and twice as vindictive. I am rough and I am ruthless, though it's tough for bitter truthless. Nobody steps on Catholics. If they do, then they must be crushed. Most of the world are half-wits, and their laughter will soon be hushed. A superior mental IQ makes inferior minds dislike you. If the world starts a ruckus, well, all of them run amok is to stay. And I'm glad it's plainly miserable. Nobody steps on Catherine. If they do, then they must be crushed. Out of my way, you half-wits. Nobody steps on
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.